out of the rest of God, and a lack of peace. The second thing we're going to talk about, and we'll get back to these, is how to walk in Christ. See, I can't really walk with Christ if I haven't seated with Christ. If I don't have his rest, I can't really have a walk with Christ. And the third thing is how to stand with Christ. Is it very possible that many believers and Christians today are not standing for their faith because they're not walking with Jesus, because they're out of position, they're not seated with him? There's some interesting things about the city of Ephesus. It was one of the great prosperous port cities, very prosperous city. And Ephesus was the great temple of Diana, Acts 19 and verse 28. There was a great uproar about that temple, and they began to attack Paul and others for coming against it. Also in Ephesus, Demetrius, the coppersmith, did them much evil. Paul made a statement that he fought with beasts at Ephesus. And he was addressing false doctrine that was invading that city. And we know that after Paul went there twice, he sent his son in the faith, Timothy, to be the pastor at Ephesus. So with that, I want to talk about this first chapter specifically. We'll probably continue it next week. There's so much in this book. But I wanted to just lay this foundation that this is not just another book to study. It's not a prophetic book like Joel or the book of Revelation, but it is a book that is relevant to us because the situation and the circumstances are so similar to today's. The theme of the book of Ephesians is this: the unsearchable riches of Christ. Reach over and grab somebody's hand right now. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word, we're not just here, Lord, to waste time. We want you to take us on a journey through this book and receive the unsearchable riches of Christ. Expand our understanding, expand our eyes, expand the heart understanding of the great riches that he paid for us. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, unsearchable is an interesting word. That means that even though you've been in church 100 years, you still haven't searched it all out yet. Amen. Unsearchable riches of Christ. And the theme is the unsearchable riches of Christ, but the purpose of this book is this. The purpose, can you go to that slide? The purpose of this is, number one, emphasize that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. That's the purpose. Situations come against us. You had the Temple of Diana. You had prostitution and war, all types of things. And so Paul said, I want you to be strong. And the way you get strong is to realize that you're in Christ. Second purpose is to remind and instruct the church of their heavenly position. And even though you're on this earth, you have a position in heaven that Rome doesn't have and the prisons don't have. You have a position, and Paul says, I want you to know clearly, church at Ephesus, what you're dealing with, don't let it steal your position. The third thing, to call the church to grow and live lives worthy of our heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of this book. Emphasize in Christ, remind them of their heavenly calling, and to call the church to live a life worthy. How many believe we need to live a life worthy of the gospel? Amen. So let's go to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he himself purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Lord, bless your word as we talk about this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Paul says, listen, I an apostle by the will of God. I didn't choose myself. God chose this for me. He says, grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he makes a statement that is so powerful. He says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. He's not just talking there about finances, but he's talking about the blessing of the atonement, of salvation, the blessing of forgiveness, amen. The blessing that we can approach the throne of grace. The blessing that what we bind on earth can be bound in heaven. The blessing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The blessing of healing, the blessing of peace, the blessing of the family of God, the blessing of God predetermining where I should live, how I should go, what church I should attend, who I should marry. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places are ours. God never intended for you and I to try to choose the weightier elements of this life by our own intellect. God knows where to place you, who to put you with. God knows what friends to give you. But it's all a matter if I want to surrender to God and let him have his way. Amen. And we live in a time when Jesus told us about that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, but actually he was not their Lord. See, surrender is something I believe in 2020 is going to be preached on in the body of Christ around the world. We have basically everything we need. We just need a fresh surrender. Amen. Every time I surrender to God, he releases from his hand another step of his will, another step of his promise, another part of the puzzle of my life. I don't get it just because I show up. I get it because I bow down. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul continually stayed in a state of surrender so God would release the next step. Why would God give me the next step if I have not surrendered on the last step? Amen. And if God puts us in a position of wilderness or it seems like God is not speaking to me, we need to examine. Maybe I need to go back and make sure I did the last thing he's asked of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, I believe that. Amen. I want to talk to you specifically tonight in the time remaining. There are three positions of our inheritance. Everybody say three positions. You see, Paul said the riches of Christ were blessed. Can you go back to that slide? We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are accepted in the beloved. And we have the riches of his grace. Those three things are vital to understand our inheritance. You can go to the next one. To our inheritance, our position. Everybody say a position. Our first position, Paul said, Ephesians 2:6, He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that is an astonishing revelation that no one else ever got. Paul is the only one that had this revelation. And he's not talking about physically. How many of you know physically I'm not up in heaven sitting with Jesus having a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee? Amen. Which I did get before church. It was good anyway. But you know, he said, we are seated with him. Now, I believe this. I believe two things about this. Number one, to sit with Christ is to be at rest. The Bible says labor to enter into that rest. The second thing to be seated with Christ, it's a position of authority. It's understanding the authority God has given me as a believer and the church world. So I'm seated with him. I am resting with him. So why am I worrying? Why am I fearful? Let's just have a little example here. I'm going to ask Michael, would you just sit right there? You've played Jesus, so you're going to be Jesus. You know, you've played him. You qualified. Now you can sit there. Just sit there. I wasn't transported to heaven like Star Trek and sat on a throne. So this is a position that God said I have. Whether I totally grasp it or not has nothing to do with the reality of it. I'm not trying to be good enough to sit with him. I'm not trying to be spiritual enough to sit with him. I'm not trying to be anointed enough to sit with him. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with what God did. God said, I'm seated with him. So sometimes, if we don't understand that inheritance, this is what we do. I'm seated next to him whether I acknowledge it or not. Here's the King of Glory. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, yeah, am I going to do this? I'm going to do that. And, oh, God, this is happening. I don't know. I see this happening and everything. And now that's something to think about, who you're sitting next to. Huh? He said, he raised us up and made us. I mean, say made. He made us sit there. Sit down. We're out here. I don't know what to do. I can't do this. I'm no good. No one loves me. And King Jesus said, sit down. Sit back down. And you and I've learned this over 40 years, is when I go through things, and I go through worry and doubt and all things, I'm waiting for my King to say, sit back down next to me. Get back down here where you're supposed to be. Sit down, and he doesn't say it, but I would say, and shut up. Sit down and don't say that. Don't you know who I am? I'm sitting next to you. And if we forget that, guess what? We lose part of our inheritance. Because if I'm right next to him, sitting, he's really hearing everything I say. And you can sit next to somebody, and they might not say nothing, but you can pick up something. Something ain't right. You know what I'm saying? So he knows everything about us. Yeeks. He knows if we get irritable. This side does, this side there. He knows if we get short with one of them. We're sitting right there. He knows if we're saying words of doubt and unbelief. See, somehow we picture ourselves like he's way up there somewhere, but he says we're seated with him. So 2020, that's going to give us a revelation of this. I've learned this the hard way, like I've learned all my lessons in Christ. Don't say everything you feel, and don't say everything you think. It's better to say less. Because where there's many words, sin is not absent. But the reality is, if I'm seated next to Christ, what He says, I want to say. If He says by His stripes I'm healed, that's what I'm going to say. If He says I'm the head and not the tail, that's what I'm going to say. If He says I can forgive everyone, I'm going to say that. If He says I have a purpose before I formed you, I knew thee, then I'm going to repeat that. Because see, I'm seated with Him. If I don't do that, then I've lost my rest, and I'm out here trying to figure my life out, figure where I'm supposed to be, figure how to pay the bills. But if I'm right next to Him, I'm going to say what you say, Lord. I'm going to say that you love me if no one else loves me. You love me. You said all my needs are provided in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm going to say. You see, if I'm going to go on to the next one, but and I've learned this the hard way. If I find myself in anxiety or worry, I've gotten up from sitting with Him and I'm going around trying to figure life out. He said, be seated with me. Oh, He already knows we're not perfect. He knows we've missed it. He still says, come back and sit with me. Come back. Rearrange some things. That's my position. That's my inheritance, to sit with Christ. The second one is walking. Everybody say walking. You see, once I sat with Christ, I'm at rest. Now I can walk the Christian walk. But we've all met believers that they don't seem like they've got that peace. They're walking, but they didn't get the first part. I beseech ye, the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthy of the vocation where you call. So I'm walking worthy of it. I'm watching my life. Paul said to Timothy, watch your doctrine and your life closely. I'm walking to please God. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But now I'm walking because I was sitting. Now I'm walking. This is not the walk going around wondering what I'm going to do, pulling my hair out. This is a walk that others see Christ in me as I'm walking, as I'm going. They don't see me. They might see my physical body, but there's something happening. There's something being imparted because I sat with Christ. Now I'm walking with Christ. And when I don't know about you, but every place Jesus went, He touched people. If I'm seated with Christ, that's why your personal devotions, your personal prayer time, your personal time of repentance, your personal holy life is so important when you're seated with Christ, because then when we begin to walk with Him, we take that with us. I beseech you, actually the word is a strong word in the Greek. It means to beg. He said, I'm begging you. It's the same word in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So I seated with Christ. Now you might say, well, this is very, you know, listen, this was revelation that no other ages had about. Nobody else had this revelation. God gave it to the church at Ephesus because the times there, everybody was ready to stone Paul and kill him because he went and attacked, you know, or said something about Diana of Ephesus, the great temple there. And then the third thing is standing. You see, we all talk about standing, but you cannot stand if you don't sit and if you don't walk the walk. We cannot stand. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and what? The evil day. They had an evil day. We're not the only ones that had an evil day. I mean, they were taking Christians and throwing them to the lions. Pretty evil to me. Having done all, done what? Having seated, having living this, walking this thing, now I can stand. If there's a failure when I'm standing, then I failed somewhere in the first two. I got to go back and sit with him again. And sit with him again. Something comes out of your mouth that is so against the word or so carnal. Go back and sit again. Because you're not going to be able to stand with those words, right? Having done all to stand. Why do we need to stand? Number one, stand is a position. It's an offensive position. I'm standing. The armor is not for us just to be on the defense. If it was, we wouldn't have the sword of the Spirit. So standing is a position where I can go through life with a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, but long before I put the armor on, I've seated, I've sat with Christ, and I've walked this thing to the best of my ability. You know, a lot of times we put the armor on Sunday, but on Monday we take it off. Having to done all to stand, we're seated with Christ. You have authority in His name. You can call on the Father who is without partiality. You can walk a different walk. You can walk differently than 2019. I can walk differently. I can have a different marriage this year. I can have relationships that I didn't have in 2019 because I wouldn't go and be friendly with someone. I wouldn't get out of myself. I can prepare myself for marriage this year because I've sat enough with Christ and I'm walking this out and I'm learning how to treat the member of the opposite sex. I've learned that marriage isn't about just my needs getting met, but marriage is about denying myself and serving my mates. That's what it's about. And see, I learn those things as I sit with Him, and then I begin to walk Him out in practical servanthood. What do you need? I'll go do this. Somehow, in this generation, we in the body of Christ, we feel like because I have sat with Him, my walk is about myself, but not serving. And you see that in most local churches, only about 25% of the people really serve. And the problem is that that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, though He was rich, He became poor. He humbled Himself, became a servant. He washed feet and said, this is what you should do, you see. So if I'm going to stand, which we all need to stand, then I'm going to have to sit with Him. And it's interesting, and I'm going to begin to close. It's interesting with my, forgive me for my own personal transparency, but years ago, you know, I'd pray an hour, Dr. Larry Lee's thing, and then go to work, go to church, but and I love the Lord's Prayer. But it's interesting to me, I spend as much time being quiet after I pray than I do praying. And it didn't used to be that way. You know, I'd pray right to the end, speak in tongues, bind the devil and all that, and then and basically I'd be done. I don't do that anymore. I pray as God leads me, then I just sit there. I sit there. Might be a half hour, I might sit there. Might be an hour, it might be 30 minutes. But I learned that during that time, I can hear His voice greater. Because God whispers in my busyness, speaks loud in my quietness. Part of my sitting with Christ, walking and standing, I never can get past this element, because Paul talks about this. All three of those must culminate in a heart that wants to know Him better. That's why Paul said, I pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know the hope of His calling. Well, what is the hope of His calling? The hope of His calling is not just my ministry. The hope of His calling, what did God hope when He called us? He wanted us to go back before before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. God's hope of our calling is not equipping us first. It's having a relationship with us. He's hoping for a mature relationship with us. Paul said, I'm praying that your eyes of your understanding are enlightened, that you might know the hope of His calling, the inheritance in the saints. And then Paul says that I might know Him in Philippians. So when I'm thinking of sitting, walking, and standing, it's not just for me so I can beat the devil up and I'm victorious and I believe in victory. I need more of it. But if I don't have the culmination of understanding that all of that has to be threaded with my personal hunger and desire to meet with God alone, then I don't know how dynamic really all three of those are going to be in my life. This book is for today. It's for this hour. Paul said, there's riches in Christ. He says it's unsearchable. And just when I thought, you know, I knew all about His riches, it's like, well, that's not true. You know some, but if they're unsearchable, I need to keep studying, don't I? I need to keep going. How many tonight, as we close, how many tonight you want to get back and just sit with Christ again? I do. Doesn't mean you're backslidden, doesn't mean you're not. But maybe I'm not sitting with Him long enough. Maybe my personal time with God has gotten kind of boring and I just do the same thing. Tell God what I need, tell Him about the news. Of course, He doesn't know those things. Tell Him how I think He ought to do something over in that country. And maybe it's become a one-way thing. I just sit with Him and tell Him a bunch of stuff. Oh, I got to go to work. I'll see you. Never just be quiet. And maybe an understanding of seated with Christ is the authority He is giving me and the church to cast down imaginations. You have authority to cast down imaginations. You have authority to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But it's not going to happen if I don't sit with Him. After I sit with Him, I let Him speak. How many have ever been in a conversation, especially if you're married, and, you know, you want to talk, but the other person's talking, you can't get in there. It's like playing tennis, you know. You hit the ball, and then you wait for them to respond. Then you do it again. If God knows everything, He knows what I'm going to say before I ask, why am I spending more time talking to Him than listening? I'll tell you why. Because in this generation we live in, we have a problem with focusing. We don't like the remote. We change the channel. It's hard for us to be still. But yet, the Bible tells us, be still and know thy God. So after I've done that and I'm working on it. I'm working on it. There's times it doesn't happen a lot. I just start prayer. I don't even pray. I just sit. But that doesn't happen a lot. I usually enter His presence. If I've done God to clean my heart. But I never tell God what to do. And I never tell God what to do with my life. I'm not that smart. Because I would choose all the easy things. I wouldn't choose being sold and thrown in a pit like Joseph. So I don't tell God what to do with my life. I say, what is your will? And I know as I've grown that in God's will, there's easy days and there's hard days. God doesn't cut out suffering in my life, but he doesn't make it overwhelming either. As I'm seated with him, I give up the reins of trying to figure him out and figure life out and figure why people do things. I give it up. And I'm quiet. And I'm waiting for a new brokenness. Because I can be proud. And I can be opinionated. Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Please make me like Jesus. I put the hat of the pastor and the anointing. I'm not coming because of that. I'm coming because I have a relationship with you. So I'm seated there, quiet. Then when I get up, I'm going to walk like Jesus. 2 more minutes. The other day I was going to Sheets to get gas. I walk in. The lady, maybe 30 years old, she looked very professionally dressed, hair done, just very, you know. And as I walked by, she looked at me. Just for a second, I kept walking. And then I felt the Holy Ghost. I had just been over to the church praying early. Because see, I was seated with him, now I'm walking. And when I was going out, she was still there. I thought it was a manager or something, just kind of off in the corner type thing. I go, well, have a good day. God loves you. And she started crying. So I went back over. I said, I don't know what you're going through, ma'am. But I knew, because the word of knowledge came to me. Her heart was broken. So I didn't say, oh, I just see it. No, I just put it in my speech. I said, you know, sometimes in life our heart gets broken. And I said, oh, I have a word of knowledge. And I get that mess out of here. Start crying more. I said, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And God said he's going to make it right in your life. Thank you, thank you. People walking by. But she seemed like she was all together. Gave her a card. Come see it, my wife and I. Because I always, if I ever give words out to women, I don't usually, but if I do, I always say, my wife and I, come see us. It's because I sat. Walking. This should be normal Christianity. I can't believe that if everybody's seated here, then only he wants just a few people to be able to walk and share. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. My whole life is just to come and learn the Bible but never walk it. Then seated, walking, then you're going to have to stand. Lord, I just thank you. You said, if I shared the word of God, if I was concerned, according to Isaiah 58, that the chosen fast was not just going without food, it was to help the hurting and the oppressed. I'm standing for this woman to be saved. I can't wait till tomorrow morning. Really? Can't wait. Just sit with him again. and then in anticipation to walk where he wants me to walk. We're here because he sat with Jesus, and Jesus, I'm sending you to Petersburg. Okay. I'm sending you to Scranton. I'm sending you to Ukraine to start a church. I'm sending you to Austria. I'm sending you to Lawton to repair a church. Nothing I would have chosen. How about your life? Can you believe in 2020 something beyond what we thought was going to happen to you? Would you believe that? Would you sit, walk, and stand with me, not only individually but as a church? We might see the glory of God in our city. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Come on, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we are seated with you in heavenly places. We thank you that your Spirit is getting us to walk worthy of the calling to know you and fellowship with you. And we thank you that we're going to have a new stand. And it's not to be a victim. It's not to feel sorry for us. It's a stand with the sword of the Spirit to speak that which is not as though it is, because it already is in heaven. Help us individually, help us collectively in 2020 to walk in the fullness of what you have. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it. We give you the glory. While we're praying here tonight, if you're here tonight, while we're all praying, if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or maybe you're away from the Lord, maybe you want to come back to God, maybe you've been away from God in this house. If you're here tonight while we're praying, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here tonight? Say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to come back. I don't know him. I've never been forgiven by his grace. While we're praying, is there anybody here? Just lift your hand way up. Ma'am, I see your hand back there. Would you come on up so I can pray for you? Is that you? Yeah. You have some of our leaders come up, Pastor Deb. You know, things in life aren't always fair.